دشمنان سعی میکنن این حرکت رو غیر اسلامی نشان بدن. این خطاست، قطعا اسلامی است. گذشته مصر این رو نشان میده.
Obviously the Egyptian people have an Islamic character, have an Islamic identity, have an Islamic history.
America's strategy in Egypt is done.
I think it is an Islamic movement.
The leader's message, Islamic awakening has occurred in the Arab world, a sentiment, as you just heard, echoed by Muslim scholars who had gathered here in the capital, Tehran, this past week. Hi, I'm Kaveh Tafoli for Reality Check, looking at the chaos in Libya. Very frightening situation. From a leader, Muammar Gaddafi, whose country was once in possession of a WMD program. Hard to imagine that there's going to be a good outcome there.
I am paying the price of staying here. My grandfather is Abdussalam Bouminiar, the first martyr in Homs. I shall die as a martyr beside him in the end.
Longtime ruler Muammar Gaddafi has used tanks, helicopters, and warplanes to pound the protesters.
Libyan activists in the UK, in Europe, they try to raise awareness about what's happening inside Libya. For all these decades, nobody listened to us, even the media.
Not surprisingly, programs this past week also focused on the awakening that was sweeping the Arab world.
In recent weeks, the world has been surprised by a sudden uprise in the Arab world.
A strange time, an uprising that began with flames in Tunisia.
The US was caught out by the Egyptian revolution after declaring the regime stable on the eve of the movement which brought an end to Hosni Mubarak's rule.
A militant, you create 10 more.
The drones fly from Pakistani bases.
Stay tuned for those stories in this week's Reality Check for week ending February 25th. Libya this past week was filled with scenes of death. A ruler by the name of Muammar Gaddafi, who has refused to listen to his people, who has hired mercenaries to kill his own people, and who has threatened his people with chemical weapons. Libyans have paid a much deeper price than any other Arab nation. Their blood has been spilled, on last count, between 1,000 to 3,000 martyred.
I am paying the price of staying here. My grandfather is Abdussalam Bouminiar, the first martyr in Homs, in the first battle of 1911. I cannot bring shame to this great ancestry. I cannot leave my grandfather's grave in Marghab. I shall die as a martyr beside him in the end.
إن ليبيا مش تونس ومصر، ليبيا قبائل وعشائر وتحالفات. ليبيا مش فيها مجتمع، فيها مجتمع مدني وأحزاب و... لا، ليبيا قبائل وعشائر، وكل واحد قاعد في منطقته، كل واحد عارف هلا، كل واحد عارف ناسه. ليبيا تصبح حرب أهلية. نرجع للحرب الأهلية بتاع 1936.
هو استعدوا. فتك هذه الروح المعنوية العالية هي أقوى من أبواق العرب. أقوى من أبواق.
Libya's uprising is gaining momentum. Embattled ruler Muammar Gaddafi is now struggling to keep the capital under his control.
Muammar Gaddafi is killing us because we are dying, because we are fighting till we die. We are fighting till we die.
Libyan activists in the UK, in Europe, they try to raise awareness about what's happening inside Libya. For all these decades, nobody listened to us, even the media. Even the media in the UK, nobody listened to us. And now they see the horrific situation. They see the horrific scenes and events and by Gaddafi and his regime.
أنا دافع ثمن بقائي هنا.
Tariq Ramadan, Muslim scholar and host of Islam and Life on Press TV, took a look at what may be behind the series of uprisings in North Africa and the Middle East. Lauren Booth also had him up close and personal in the program Face to Face.
In recent weeks, the world has been surprised by a sudden uprising in the Arab world. The fire of liberation was set in Tunisia and has taken Egypt with full fury, where people came out on the streets to bring down the regime that has suppressed democracy for the last 30 years. The wave of liberation has also absorbed other Arab nations that were living under similar regimes, including Yemen, Jordan, and Algeria. This means that there will be huge consequences, which will directly affect the West and their interests in the Middle East. Western hegemonic media, initially, had been ignoring these mammoth events taking place in these countries, but had no choice but to bring it to the front page. Only this time to portray Muslims as rebellions and not to show people stand for democracy.
A strange time, an uprising that began with flames in Tunisia, spread across the North Africa to Egypt, has now seen a dictator unseated. And the fear of democracy in the West. No joy. I mean, if you watch CNN and Fox News, the fear of Islamism overtaking the joy of democracy at work. Is there something to fear?
I think first what is important is to just to look at what happened, because it was unexpected just to have these young people in Tunisia just after we knew the repression. You know, I also have been banned from there for more than 12 years. And I think that what we got from the West as a first reaction is first a state of denial. And the most interesting statement came from the States saying, oh, the people are right. And we know today that the States, the United States of America and Barack Obama, they were in touch with the foreign minister, with the army, and they plan to remove very quickly Ben Ali from Tunisia in order to avoid contagion in the region.
Islamic awakening. Leader of Iran has hailed the revolutions, but has warned that each country's Muslim citizens should be careful that their revolutions don't get hijacked. The 24th Islamic Unity Conference in Tehran also took place this past week in order to review the recent developments.
پول فراوان او رو میبینن. وقتی اینها رو میبینن مرعوب میشن. میگن ما که نمیتونیم کاری بکنیم. چرا بی خودی نیروهامون رو هدر بدیم؟ ما که کاری ازمون بر نمیاد. الان هستن. در زمان انقلاب ما هم بودن. دشمنان سعی میکنن این حرکت رو غیر اسلامی نشان بدن. این خطاست. قطعا اسلامی است. گذشته مصر این رو نشان میده. حرکت امروز مصر هم همین رو نشان میده. شعارهای مردم، حضورشون در نماز جمعه اینها رو نشان میده. بنابراین قطعا اسلامی است اگرچه سعی میکنن دشمنان نگذارند که این اسلامی بودن تثبیت بشود در مصر.
These are unprecedented times for the Arab world. Renewed passions, protests, a changing region. These are also changing times for the Muslim world. At the 24th Islamic Unity Conference in Tehran, the current wave of revolutions overshadowed everything else on the agenda. The conference brings together Muslims from every sect. There are over 250 scholars from over 57 countries here, from Australia to Afghanistan, from Gambia to Germany, the UAE to the USA. There's also scholars from Tunisia, Egypt, Yemen, Bahrain, Libya, all the countries currently in the throes of revolution. And it was exactly these revolutions that were at the heart of everyone's speeches.
What we are seeing in the region today is undoubtedly the result of a deep awakening among Muslims. It is auspicious. You should recognize the essence and worth of what is happening. The US, Israel, and their puppet dictators are very worried. The US rushed to give Egypt's military $150 million. Did the people of Egypt have a problem with military funding? Did they want one general replaced with several others? Did they want token political gestures? Friday's protests in Cairo shows that the people want a complete revolution. You are mistaken if you can buy the revolution with millions of dollars of military aid.
The leaders of the regimes facing uprisings in the Arab world have close ties to America and Israel. Scholars at the conference said it is these ties that have fermented the unrest, because puppet leadership does not lead to representative government. The Islamic nature of the protests is a fear being stoked by the West, who say that Islamic-slanted governments will mean extremist governments. It seems the people in the Muslim world have clearly spoken. And at this conference, words were spoken very clearly too, a warning to regional leaders.
To the puppet leaders, you are making a mistake. Regional leaders should be smarter than this. See what the U.S. did to the Shah, Ben Ali, Mubarak, how they left them high and dry. Don't play with your people's dignity by being puppet leaders. Don't kill your people to protect the basis and interests of foreign powers.
Now, the conference had over 200 Muslim scholars in attendance. Here are some of their sentiments, which erases any doubts about the Islamic awakening that is taking place.
Obviously, the Egyptian people have an Islamic character, have an Islamic identity, have an Islamic history, have an Islamic religion. And when they are given freedom, full freedom of expression of who they are, they're going to go Islamic.
I've just come from Egypt, where I spent a few days. You know, the celebration in Egypt was in Maidan Tahrir. In Iran, they celebrate their revolution in Maidan Azadi. They mean the same thing. Thank God we have a new history for Egypt. The regime will be finished. America's strategy in Egypt is done.
I think it is an Islamic movement, because all the ingredients of Islamic teachings are there. For example, when I look at Egypt, it's so wonderful that you see Muslims sleeping at dawn and then Christians waking them up. You see, wake up and sleep and pray. You can see people coming together.
The people are awakening, and the American intervention in the affairs of Muslims and its struggle to keep them under its pressure, that is going to be shattered. And the Muslim rulers, with few exceptions, they have been subjugated and are subdued before America. But the common masses of Muslim countries, they have awakened, and they are standing against these American pressures and American indulgence in intervention in the Muslim world.
Those who are following or observing what is happening in the Muslim world must understand that it is enough that Muslims are being charged of terrorism, of good partners for the global peace, that this lie cannot be sold to the Muslim minds anymore. What is now is just the beginning of a revolution that the new generation of Muslims is going to take, and to show that Islam and our tradition is the tradition of peace, of tolerance, and the progress of the world. So, congratulations to this generation. I am very happy to witness this.
Yvonne Ridley this past week from the program Agenda did a great wrap-up on the uprisings in North Africa and the Middle East, with the perspective question, America, does it really care about the people or its own foreign policies?
The U.S. was caught out by the Egyptian revolution after declaring the regime stable on the eve of the movement which brought an end to Hosni Mubarak's rule 3 weeks later. Days ago, President Barack Obama brushed aside criticism that his administration had been too cautious in giving support, while he remained completely silent during the Tunisian people's uprising until its dictator had fled. Now there are those who are wondering why the White House is still opting for silence as live and rubber bullets, tear gas and violence spill onto the streets of Bahrain, where at least two anti-government protesters have died. Meanwhile, in Yemen, Libya and Algeria, thousands have also risen and protested against their leaderships, but a response from Washington has not been forthcoming. The U.S. administration has also refused to be drawn in to comment on street protests in Jordan and hints of unrest in Saudi Arabia, where there is also growing evidence of protest against the country's rulers. The only vocal condemnation coming out of the U.S. State Department this week was directed at Tehran for its handling of street demonstrations. And it has now emerged that attempts to fuel unrest via social networks was launched by the U.S. State Department's not-so-covert Twitter and Facebook operations. The differing strategies and approaches have now exposed the U.S. to accusations of hypocrisy. Today's agenda asks the question, America, does it really care about the people or its own foreign policies?
Take a guess at what the number one search was on Yahoo when the uprisings began in Bahrain. You wouldn't believe it, but most people who logged on wanted to find out where Bahrain was. Well, here's a look at the significance of Bahrain, where it's located relative to the United States, along with some of the scenes from Manama's Pearl Square.
Bahrain is an amalgamation of 33 islands in the Persian Gulf, which are situated between the east coast of Saudi Arabia and the Qatar Peninsula. It is linked to Saudi by the King Farad Causeway, which is probably the most spectacular road construction of its kind. It consists of a four-lane highway, 25 meters wide and about 25 kilometers long. It was financed entirely by Saudi Arabia to the tune of $1.2 million US and was completed in 1986. Arabic is the primary language, although English, Persian and Urdu are also spoken. Its natural resources consist mainly of oil, natural gas and fish stocks. The capital of Bahrain is Manama. It's 3 hours ahead of Greenwich Mean Time. Since Bahrain's independence, there has been continuous conflicts between the ruling Sunni tribe and the Shiite majority. A new constitution was formed in 2002, which provided for an elected parliament and gave women the right to vote for the first time.
Al-Nasr al-Islam, 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 من هذا الدوار حتى تحقق جميع المطالب الذي يريدها شعب البحر.
This is peaceful. We are committed to peaceful protests which succeeded in Tunisia and succeeded in Egypt. You are presenting a model. Now the whole world is looking at you, the whole world.
Breaking away from the uprisings and revolutions in North Africa and the Middle East, let's look at Pakistan, the United States, and the CIA covert war on terror in that country, not to mention the drone attacks that kill more civilians than extremists. The program In Focus covered that subject with presenter Kamran Yusuf, who had some great interviews on that subject.
Since Pakistan joined America's so-called global battle against extremism, everything seemed to have changed for this nation of 180 million. The so-called war has killed thousands of civilians, shattered the country's economy, and destroyed social fabric. But above all, there is a bigger evil haunting Pakistan for past many years, the CIA's secret war.
Militant, you create 10 more.
The drones fly from Pakistani bases.
When people say that President Musharraf had allowed this, they are not telling the truth.
The September was the deadliest month.
He gave in on certain things.
With us, or you are with the terrorists.
We are opposed to drone strikes.
Islamic awakening, make no doubts about it. The scenes of prayers are testaments to how the movements in North Africa and the Middle East will be guided with this. Its role was echoed in this piece from PressTV.ir.
Awakening tightens noose around Israel. Commander of Iran's besieged force, Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Nafdi, said Israel is facing increasing pressure as a wave of Islamic awakening against Western-backed dictatorships surges through the Middle East. He said Islamic awakening has been underway for years. He also said the movement has been set back in some countries due to the oppression and the stifling atmosphere imposed by their dictatorial rulers. He said Muslim leaders in exile are returning to their countries and that great popular movements are shaping in Muslim nations.
Thanks for watching. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reality Check. Please send your emails to realitycheck@presstv.ir. Also, don't forget, you report on presstv.ir is where you can load up videos of any uprisings that is taking place in your part of the world. Hopefully it's not the case, even if that's occurring in countries outside North Africa and the Middle East, such as the United States and the UK. I'll see you next week.